Darren, Kerry and Sky.
Michael David, where have you been? You've been out with that ginger again, haven't you?
You're talking about Ed Sheeran, yeah.
So I want to get to your album and I want to get to your new single. It's The Sword from a Stone, which I watched the sort of animated music video, the one that you've worked with Ed Sheeran on, right? How different is it from Sword from a Stone?
Yeah, so it's confusing. So the original version appears on the album. The album is called Songs for Young and Broken Hearted, and Sword from the Stone opens that record. And that's the version that I worked on with my band and with my producer. But when I wrote that song, I was super excited about it. And whenever I write a song that I feel is kind of special, I send it to a handful of people, and Sheeran is usually on that list. And he phoned me about 7 minutes after I sent him this terrible little phone recording of it. He was like, mate, there's something to this. There's something really special about it. And it just kind of went from there. I mean, we'd always talked about working together or collaborating in some sense. And we decided it would be really fun if he went away and sort of created this alternative version, which we've called the Gingerbread Mix. I love it, man. I really feel like it keeps the heart and soul of the song intact, but it just gives it a bit more punch and a bit more edge. And I think he's Sheeranized it, which is a good thing to have been done.
We saw you pretty much for the first time when you opened for him when you were in South Africa. I think it was 2019.
That's right.
And I remember everyone from Joburg and Cape Town and Durban were all raving about you. It's an Ed Sheeran concert, but they were all raving about you. And I hear you talking about Ed right now like you know, you're mates. Are you mates from the industry or you've been mates your whole life? Could you get Ed Sheeran on the phone right now? Could you like say, Ed, say hello to Darren?
I could. I probably won't, but yeah. I mean, if he was available, I'm sure he could. Yeah. I was a busker for years. I started busking when I was sort of in my early 20s. And the first summer of busking around the UK, I was just sort of doing every pub gig I could get my hands on. I would just sort of, and try and play a few songs. And I ended up in this tiny little pub in Cambridge, and Ed happened to be on the same bill. I think he was about 17 at the time. And I watched his set and I was just like completely mind blown. Like it was incredible. And he watched my gig and I think he really liked my stuff well. And we sort of just became friends that and hung out a load. And then he sort of became the biggest pop star in the world and has been exceptionally generous. You know, he's taken me around the world as his support act and championed my music and always has been there as a very sort of inspirational figure and friend really throughout this whole process.
So no matter what happens in your creative process, it must be nice to know that you've always got an Ed Sheeran.
Sure. And I include Ed in like a handful of musical friends that I do the same with. You know, like anytime we hang out, we have a bottle of wine and play each other, you know, what we've been writing. And it's a really important thing, especially I think as solo singer songwriters, when you haven't got your band around you. You know, it can be quite a sort of solo mission. So to have people in a similar situation, obviously Ed is gargantuan and famous and crazy, but really when you're sitting in a front room together, it doesn't feel like that. You know, it's not important. All of that stuff is not important, and it's really nice. And I think it's probably really nice for him as well, that for once not sort of like, oh my god, it's Ed Sheeran, it's like, should we just play some songs and have a glass of wine? And it's really normal. He appreciates those moments in his slightly abnormal life.
Yeah. Darren, Kerry and Sky.